Coming up on podcast 1193, Elon Musk explains the new Tesla Model 3 battery strategy. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, GM changes their strategy as they scramble for supplies. Genesis GV60 looks a lot better when it's not in silly, silly colours. And what about the future of a Wankel range extender? Easy now. I will tell you more details about that and everything else happening on the podcast today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, 28th of August. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so yeah, you don't have to. I'm here to save your time. It's my job to sift through thousands of stories a day. Some days it is around 700 or 800 different things that I'll look through, Google News alerts, all those kind of things. And, you know, there's often so much duplication with the big stories, but you do find the little hidden gems that I can bring you. What I love is reporting on something, then 3 or 4 days later, seeing some of the EV sites and blogs out there pick it up. I mean, maybe it wasn't hearing it here or but whatever, but I do like being first, and I like it if it helps spread the word about certain stories as well. Let's start with news about General Motors, GM, and Hyundai and their EV battery fires linked to LG Chem plants. Shares of the Korean battery maker LG Chem slid to a 9-month low yesterday as investors digested reports linking fires in GM and Hyundai vehicles to LG batteries at least two of their Asian plants, writes Reuters.com today. Documents filed by GM and Hyundai with the US safety regulator showed how the two automakers separately identified the same cause of battery fires in their own newest EVs, tracing them to similar manufacturing defects in battery cells made at least two plants operated by a unit of LG Chem. Obviously having to be incredibly careful how this is reported, because LG will have their own take on this as well, and will want their right of reply. When I see that story, of course, I will bring their side of it to you. GM and Hyundai linked the fires to lithium-ion battery cells supplied by LG Energy Solution. That's a subsidiary and one of the world's largest battery makers. The cells were produced at LG plants in South Korea and in China. Now, everyone from this whole situation is getting a bloody nose, including most importantly, the customers, actually, that have been affected by this. But Ford and VW are two companies that haven't reported similar issues. I'm sure that they've done their own due diligence, and they've not found, or at least they've not reported, any similar issues with the LG cells. Something to keep an eye on and see how that story develops. I'll pop a link to Reuters in the show notes if you'd like to read more. GM also in the news today, because they're looking for supplier partnerships and digital tools to secure the localized supply of semiconductors and lithium-ion batteries in North America. Currently, two of the most critical products needed in vehicle production in the region. Speaking at the recent JP Morgan Auto Conference, Steve Carlisle, well, he's GM's executive VP and president of GM North America. He said the company would be seeking to use technology and to build partnerships to avoid future supply chain problems. The company will not be returning to its pre-pandemic supply of 90 days of stock and will ideally arrange about 30 to 60 days allotments at their dealerships to avoid cars sitting on dealers' lots and having a lot of that stock tied up. Well, according to automotivelogistics.media website, battery making partnerships need access to crucial raw materials. The likes of lithium, nickel, manganese, cobalt, aluminium, and more. Mining them in the US promises a reduction in the overall costs compared to importing them from overseas. It gives you more control, and certainly on a geopolitical level, it removes some of the power base, which in terms of batteries and energy storage has completely shifted to Asia and to China. And if you can have those partnerships that GM is looking to secure to get local supplies of lithium for EV production, things like Southern California's Salton Sea, that is a good thing for these companies not to have, let's say, all their eggs in one political basket. And he takes the wind to blow the wrong way, and all of a sudden one country is controlling pretty much the world's battery supply chain. So it's a good thing. Lots of battery gigafactories being built in Europe, of course, South Korea, with the likes of SK and LG and the Chinese companies, and hopefully with some local supply being in the US as well. A little bit behind on a global level in terms of battery production. So looks like there's plans there to catch up. And all these car companies as well do want a reliable and local source in their supply chains. Certainly the semiconductor shortage over the last year, which is going to extend into next year as well, a long way into next year, has taken some people by surprise and given them a bloody nose, because they've had to, in some case, shutter entire production lines. They haven't got their semiconductors to produce the cars with. Let's talk about a new car. Genesis. The Genesis GV60. I'm really, really impressed by the Genesis brand. And if you don't know what that is, by the way, Hyundai, Kia, Genesis. All part of that trio of names under the Hyundai Motor Group. And Genesis make really good value, nice premium cars. I wouldn't say luxury, but I'd say premium cars. And they sell them at a price which really does, if you don't want the badge on the front that is a BMW, Audi, Mercedes-Benz logo, you can certainly get a Genesis and pay a lot less and still get a really good car for your money. I think their design has been knocked out of the park lately. Their fossil vehicles, their design team have really been on fire. The GV60 is all electric, and it has not been a hit. One of the reasons I think why, because when they released the shots of the car last week, they chose a colour scheme of bright lime green and inside a kind of blue suede. I mean, it was bad, really. It was bad. However, spy photographs have surfaced on InsideEVs.com, a batch of photos showing the new Genesis GV60 without its silly camouflage colour. I mean, it wasn't even camouflage on the car. It was, here's the car. Just a really god-awful colour scheme. It didn't help draw attention to certain bits of it. They say the GV60 looks even better in person than it does in the press gallery. These photos, the car is black, and they appear to show a prototype that has no exterior camouflage, has a covered-up badge at the front, but still. The GV60 looks like a conventional hatchback, and that is a bit of a shame, because the Genesis cars have looked really premium, but this looks like a pretty conventional hatchback. If this had been the new Kia EV6, you'd look at the picture and go, oh yeah, that looks like a Kia. More conventional front and rear fascias. They bear the mark of the Genesis family face, though, according to Inside EVs. The GV60 goes on sale at around the end of the year. Pricing and specific details regarding range and charging not been revealed, but it's the same platform as the Ioniq 5. So it's the EGMP platform. I would imagine it probably shares a powertrain. So probably a choice of battery, 58 or 77.4 kilowatt hours, you would think. WLTP range, probably not wildly different from the Kia EV6 and the Ioniq 5 from Hyundai. So expect, 480 kilometers, 300 miles, rear-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, etc. 800-volt system. It all sounds about right. Right, coming up very soon, we'll talk about a Wankel-boosted range extender and Nissan's electric microcar. Those stories on the way very soon. Keep listening. Now we will talk about fast charging. No, I mean really fast charging. The EV manufacturer GAC Aion, Chinese maker, of course. I've talked about them on the podcast before when I found a photo on a Chinese website of one of their cars charging, and it was so ridiculously fast. Following a demonstration last month showing the charging speeds of around 5 to 8 minutes to get to 80% of the battery, the company is about to introduce a more powerful fast charger, and that is out on Monday. Back in Feb, I think it was, they announced the details of their graphene-based battery and how it can charge so damn quickly. The GAC Aion has already shared the images of the Aion V SUV, and it comes complete with that graphene battery and the charge speeds of around 621 miles of range, but able to refill itself in I guess about five or eight minutes. There's two versions, actually. Let me explain. So you know the C rate of a battery. Maybe you don't know the C rate. Lots of newcomers to this podcast, I can see on the stats, which are always going up, sometimes by a little, sometimes by a lot. But if you are a new person, a newcomer to the EV world, welcome. There's room for everybody. Charge and discharge rates of any cell and a battery is called the C rate. It's governed by the C rates, really. The capacity of a battery is commonly rated at 1C. So, a fully charged battery, let's say it's 1 amp hour, would provide 1 amp for 1 hour. It would have a charge and discharge rate of 1C. The same battery, discharging at 0.5C, would provide 500 milliamps for 2 hours, right? Half the power, twice the time. And when it comes to EV battery charging, we can talk about C rates. The higher the better. And the GAC Ion has ridiculous C rates. You know, anything that you're talking about, you know, two point something C rate is really good for an EV. The C rate of the GAC Ion is 6C with their graphene battery. So you can go 0 to 80% in 8 minutes on a battery that will go 600 and something miles, 1,000 kilometres when it's completely full. So we'll bring in that news on Monday when they've unveiled their new charger. And we just want this technology to be real, right? We want it to be out of the lab, into a production car. It'll wake up the rest of the world, who's obviously, you know, they know about these things. But it'll be fantastic to have a new king of the hill, even if it's, you know, only in China. Still great news. Next, let's talk about range boosting an RV, a recreational vehicle. We thought that any news of an EV with a range extended engine would have to include the word Mazda if you include the phrase rotary engine. Let's call it a Wankel. But the honour goes to an unforeseen name. Knaus or Knaus? K-N-A-U-S. German company. Knaus Tabbert is the European RV giant, and they have revealed their new RV at the Dusseldorf Caravan Salon this week. The motorhome gets rid of the diesel, and they put in an all-electric powertrain with a rotary engine generator. So the Wankel never turns the wheels, but it does generate electrons. It will also double as a campground power source, which is brilliant. Motorsport engineering specialist HWA has partnered up with the company to navigate the rather harrowing path of overhauling the mechanicals of a base vehicle. They chose the Fiat Ducato, according to newatlas.com, out on the road. The new e-motor gets thundering up to 68 miles an hour, but with only 35 kilowatt hours of traction battery. Again, not the biggest battery, but you don't need it because a lot of RVs are going, you know, often if you're not in a country where you're doing 1,000-mile road trips, if I were to go down to the southwest of the UK, Devon, Cornwall, I could hop between surf webs, you know, websites, campsites, and do maybe, you know, 20 miles a day. A lot of RVs don't do these huge, huge road trips in countries that aren't the US. So 35 kilowatt hour traction battery is fine, but still, what you do after you've used up all the range of 56 miles or 90 kilometres, well, you turn on your Wankel, supplying electricity to the motorhome living area via an inverter and also creating a self-sufficient camper, less reliant on power sources like leisure batteries or LPG tanks. And when you get to your campsite, you can nearly always plug in and recharge your battery and run your RV. Next, Nissan has announced it will launch its all-electric microcar for the Japanese market early next year. Developed in partnership with the alliance partner Mitsubishi, Nissan's Micro EV, they say, has instant acceleration, smooth driving, and a quiet cabin. Yeah, that sounds like every EV Nissan, but okay, continue. In a statement, they said that the electric microcar will be a version of the IMK concept we first saw 2 years ago. It'll be 3.3 metres long, 1.5 metres wide, 1.6 metres tall, and also have a 20 kilowatt hour battery. It's a little tiddly car. Of course, we talk about smaller cars. The Citroën, or the Citroën Amy, has a 5.5 kilowatt hour pack. So this is positively cavernous in comparison, but still a little mini EV. There's a Japanese car segment. Do I pronounce it K or Kai? It's spelled K-E-I, and it's small Japanese cars that this car segment is really, really popular in Japan. I read an article about it a couple of years ago about how many of these cars get sold, and it's an eye-watering amount. Next, Elon Musk has been extending or explaining his thoughts, of course, on Twitter, as Tesla extends their range of Model 3 batteries into LFP battery chemistry, lithium iron phosphate, for the Model 3 Standard Range Plus sold in the US. The battery packs have different range estimates, which the reservation holders may want to consider before taking Tesla up on the offer. Since I reported on this yesterday, it's now looking more official in that the official communications from Tesla have gone out to Model 3 SR Plus reservation holders saying, hey, we know it's going to be next year till you get your vehicle or whatever. It's going to be a long time. But what if we gave it an LFP cell or battery pack that we'll bring in from China? Range will be a bit less, but you can have your car sooner. And a lot of buyers are going for it. The EPA estimated range is 263 miles for the existing car, 253 miles, only 10 less for the LFP cells. Elon Musk wrote, "Our intent with this pack is that product experience is roughly equivalent between nickel and iron. I'd personally opt for the iron pack, as it wants to be charged to 100%, whereas nickel prefers around 90%. Elon Musk wrote, I thought it was 80%. You know, I thought Teslas couldn't be sitting at 90% for too long. But either way, these lithium iron phosphate cells do want to be charged to 100%. And that's great. You know, I'll tell you why I think it's great, because the next set of people from the early adopters with EVs to the next group of people, the early mainstream or whatever you want to call them, they are not going to want to be nerdy about it. They might listen to an EV podcast. I can think of a couple I'd recommend. And they might want to watch some YouTube videos about it, but they're not going to want to be seriously worried about their battery health because, you know, oh, I left it at 90% two nights running. It should have been 80%. They'll want to plug in and leave it. They'll plug in, it'll get to 100%, and then they'll use it because it's a car that happens to be electric, not, you know, an electric car. The charging differences that Elon Musk mentioned between the packs may make up for the differing range estimates between the nickel battery and the iron-based cells. The fact that the LFP cells are best charged to 100% means that owners could frequently get their vehicle's maximum range. A really good point raised by TeslaRT.com. And that's your podcast for today. Loads of really good, positive, happy EV news today. And question of the week is back tomorrow, by the way, after a short break. Well, thank you, as always, to all of our patrons of the podcast. Email me any of your thoughts on the stories that we talked about today. It's hello@evnewsdaily.com, and I would love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to offer you the chance to support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/evnewsdaily, at whatever level you want. I'd be so grateful if you can help me put the show on the air every single day. Premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.